When I was growing up, I was not allowed to cross the street by myself. Anybody else have a rule like that when they were growing up? Some of you? So you know what it was like, right? There were times I disliked it, the times I felt it was terribly unfair because it kept me from doing things that I wanted to do. So sometimes I crossed the road just because I wanted to. But with four sisters, getting away with such things was really quite difficult. There always seemed to be someone watching me, especially my older sister, who was old enough that she was allowed to cross the street by herself. She wanted to protect that right, and she wanted to make sure that I didn't have it. She always seemed to pop up from somewhere when I tried to sneak across the road to my best friend's house. Remarkably, she would pop out after I'd crossed the road, gleefully crowing that I was in trouble again. And as usual, she was right. My parents made and enforced that rule out of love, though. They never intended the rule as some way to test me to see if I would follow or not. They didn't want it to be something that would get me in trouble. Instead, by making that rule, I was allowed the freedom to roam the neighborhood in a way that was safe, with boundaries to keep me safe. Although I didn't understand it fully at the time, this rule actually showed my parents' love and care for me in real ways in my life. Now, we had another kind of rule at our house. Before we ate a meal, we bowed our heads and said grace. We weren't allowed to touch our food until that happened. We used that same grace. My grandsons say today, God is great, God is good. How many of you know that one? All right. It's a good grace. Actually, it's a good prayer almost any time, especially when you're at a loss for words. But the words weren't as important as why we said them and what we were doing. In our house, the rule was not evenly enforced, though. This time, there was allowance made for those who were younger. When my little sisters were very hungry, when they had a bad day or dinner was late, they were allowed to begin eating. You see, we knew better. We were taught to make accommodation for those who couldn't wait. We were taught to make accommodation for them, even as we learned the importance of waiting for the whole family to be present to say grace together, to welcome God's presence at our table each and every meal. Unlike crossing the road, this rule was not about our immediate physical safety. There was going to be no casualty if we did not say those words. Rather, this rule was a guide that helped us to recognize that God is indeed great and good, and we said it over and over. It was a guideline that helped us to see that God in mercy and love provides for us, provides basics like grain and bread as well as love and grace. It was a rule that helped us to know God's love and care for us in each and every part of our lives, in eating, in playing, in being together. It was a rule or a ritual meant to help us to live in relationship with God and relationship with each other. Now, these experiences and many others we learned from rules. We learn about rules and we learn to look beyond rules, so we know how to apply those rules in our lives. I have a friend, Kyler Black. He used to have a syndicated comic strip across Canada and the States. He had these wonderful characters, and the one that stands out to me, and every once in a while it still gives me a chuckle, was we have a little car sitting in front of a stop sign, and there are two people in the car. The one in the real driver's seat, you know, the one that doesn't have the steering wheel, is going, go. And the guy, it says stop. I said go. It says stop. When it says go, I'll go. How long do you think they were sitting there? It's a rule, right? But we know how to use that rule because we've seen how we've used it over and over. The tradition tells us we can go as long as it's okay to go. It's not just that, sorry, I'm Canadian, I won't go yet. Okay? So when I read the story today, it reminded me of these experiences of law, rules, and how we employ the rules in our lives. To refresh your memories about this story, I know we've read it about 5 minutes ago, so Jesus and his disciples were picking grain to eat on the Sabbath because they were hungry. And like an older sibling, the Pharisees always seemed to be lurking close by, watching for faults to be committed. Now, who knows where they were hiding? On this day, it was no different. The Pharisees popped up and challenged Jesus for allowing his disciples to break the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is, "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy." Their reasoning went like this. They wanted to follow God. They took God's instructions very seriously and the words of Scripture very seriously. They knew from Moses that the Sabbath was to be kept as a day of rest, a day free of work. They understood how important it was to keep from working so they would not break the rule. But in order to keep that rule, they had to know things like, what constitutes work? What is work and what isn't? They did this with all the commandments. In order to keep the Ten Commandments at the time of Jesus, the Pharisees had developed interpretations and more rules to keep from breaking those commandments, actually over 550 of them. They followed religiously, ritually, so that they would not break the commandments of God. Now, on the other hand, Jesus is there, claims to come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So the conflict was not about the validity of the fourth commandment, but how to live it out. How does it play out in everyday life? The Pharisees focused on the rules that kept people from inadvertently breaking the other rules. They wanted them to not harvest grain. It's obvious that harvesting a crop is work. But is picking food and eating it work? Well, there's the debate. They were so confident in their rules and their traditions that they saw the rules as ends in themselves. This is all important, that we have these rules and we keep them. Like a vigilant big sister, she's going to kill me, they considered it their ministry to be sure that the rules were not broken. But Jesus looked at the rules not per se, but at God's design and purpose for the world. He saw the Ten Commandments in light of God's design and God's kingdom. God provided the commandments as the best ways to live in relationship with God and the best ways to live in relationship with other people. So the Sabbath was not really about making or breaking rules, not about what was forbidden, but about living in relationship with God. Pharisees focused on their way of doing things. Jesus turned to Scripture to highlight those passages the Pharisees had continued to overlook. Pharisees about how this rule had played out in other places in Scripture over the past 1500 years. He used examples from the life of King David, from the priests and their traditions, from the prophets, the prophet Hosea in particular. He pointed the people to the intent of the Sabbath. That is to enjoy God and all God provides, is to provide time and space for people to enjoy God. Much like a family grace, it's a way of helping people to live in relationship with God and to make space and time to be in relationship with each other without being distracted by work. Now, Jesus accused the Pharisees of not understanding God and God's love for people and the great design of creation, and instead focusing on the particular. You see, reminiscent of my big sister's use of the rules to get me in trouble, the Pharisees were using the guidelines in a way that God never intended. That is, to judge others and find them wanting, rather than to help them to live. It was as if they thought the rules were just there to help them find fault. They were using them like a big stick. By using scripture and law in this way, they actually dishonored God, who they were thinking they were honoring. They put greater burdens on the people around them than people were meant to carry. Rather than help people to live in relationship with God and others, the Pharisees were using the law as a barrier to living in relationship with God and relationship with others. Jesus taught that the law was to help people recognize God's love and God's grace, not just in the past, but for them, and for them to extend God's grace, loving kindness, and love to others. And so the law should be interpreted and used that way in everyday life. Jesus claimed his authority from God to interpret scripture, and he claimed that it trumped the Pharisees' traditions. And we're left with that. So, what in the world does that have to do with us on Pentecost Sunday? That's where we are, and that's who we are. You see, Pentecost is about the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that comes into us sometimes in showy ways and sometimes in subtle. The work of the Spirit in and among us and the world happens because the Spirit is with us. It is God's power with us. It is the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit's work is about God reaching out to all people, to all nations under heaven, is what said in Acts. Just as Jesus claimed to be Lord of the Sabbath and had the authority to reinterpret the laws in light of God's design for all people, so the early church were given both the authority and the ability by the Holy Spirit to interpret and reinterpret the rules in light of God's design for all of creation, for people and their lives. They were to interpret and reinterpret in light of God's revelation of Jesus Christ and under the continuing guidance of the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit is poured out in us. I cannot for a moment believe that Jesus' teaching for us in this passage is to see how wrong the Pharisees were and how right we are. I just can't think that's what Jesus was about, can you? I think Jesus was teaching us to see that at times we are more like Pharisees than we choose to admit. We come with our own history and our own baggage, our own understanding of the way to live as Christians. We have developed ways that help us to live our lives of faith, ways that we have depended on to keep faith. But I think each and every one of us at times can be more like the big sister or brother, using that power, misusing that power. At times we try to justify our own behavior by measuring up others. At times we measure others with our own measuring stick rather than measuring them in the light of God's grace and showing God's grace to them. Perhaps it's hard to see because we're so full of the Pharisees and we know we shouldn't be like them. It's hard to think of that. But you know, sometimes when we use those statements like, we don't do it that way, we've never done that way, we don't do it that way anymore, it doesn't work. Sometimes those are ways of measuring up others and keeping our own. Sometimes we judge others by their actions what they did was hurtful. But we judge ourselves by our intentions. We really didn't mean it, so it's okay. Sometimes we misinterpret the rules to our own advantage. And we break relationship with God and others in that. The truth of Pentecost Sunday, the truth of the birth of the church, is that we have the power of the Spirit with us, the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. And in that power of God's Spirit, we have the power and the ability to change, to turn around when we see the truth. God provides for us. God provides guidelines for living, companions for the journey, communities of faith where God can speak to us and teach us and form us as we interact and live in relationship with God. Just as we can see God's provision in our lives as we eat daily bread, so when we share bread, others have evidence of God's love and grace and care in their lives. When we know God's love in our lives, we can pass it on to others so they can see God's love in their life. This month, as a community, we are working together to share what God has freely given to us. In particular, in one way, many other ways too, we are contributing to the food bank. With the needs of refugees, of evacuees from Fort Mac, the needs of those affected by the economic downturn, we know the need is great. But we also know that God's love and God's provision is greater. Just as Jesus had that vision of the kingdom that shaped what Jesus said and done, so we are called to act in ways that provide for others, that help us to live as kingdom people, to show God's grace and love and care. As we know God's rules, as we know Scripture, we are to use them to help us to live in relationship with God and others, not to help us to judge others and ourselves as righteous. So let's go from this place. Let's be in this place as God always intended. Let's use the rules as God intends to help others to live in relationship with God, to help others to live in relationship with each other. And if we do that, as we use those rules as they were intended, wherever we go in our words and our attitudes and actions, people will be able to say, surely, surely, God is in this place.